It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Is this my first cup of coffee or my second cup of coffee in this segment? I'm not sure.
Oh, you haven't been rationing?
No, well, I do this thing. At 1 o'clock, I have two cups of coffee. I can't remember if the cup of coffee I just had was my first or my second, which means that this cup of coffee I just poured, everyone should have these problems, but the cup of coffee I just poured, I don't know if it's my second or my third. Well, that's interesting. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, I heard the Emerson History X thing, and that's all well and good, but there's really only one name for the party. I'm not going to read this. Rick Emerson, Listener Party 10. Moist panties and bacon.
Oh.
See? That's it. I wasn't going to read it, and then you gave me the looks, like I had to finish it. Rick, about how did we get onto this discussion of the Claim Jumper restaurant? How did that happen exactly? Did we get there somehow from talking about the speaking trees at the beginning of the program? I don't even remember how this conversation took place. To the best of my knowledge, they're not an advertiser. I mean, we would welcome them, I suppose. I'm just saying, I don't believe there was any real reason. I think it just started. Well, any event. Rick, about Claim Jumpers. First of all, who the heck still measures things in cubits? That's the same measurement Noah used to build the ark. Yes, I know. And he said, I think I may have told you this a while back when you were talking about Claim Jumper, but when I was a kid, I ordered a club sandwich there that came with an entire head of lettuce on it that we had to bring home and feed to our sheep. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. And somebody has sent me the calorie count, by the way. The Claim Jumper fried chicken dinner, which includes...
Well, we can look at the lasagna that we have in the freezer over there.
Oh, that's right. That is from... I think that might be where the conversation came from.
Mm-hmm.
Because you bought... Now, where did you find... I ought to be back billing them for this, the number of times I've said the name of their place. Where did you find that lasagna?
At Safeway.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They have a whole, freezer full of Claim Jumper stuff.
Let's see. I'm looking at here, their fried chicken dinner, which includes a biscuit and mashed potatoes. What would you imagine the calorie count on it is? Considering you need 1,200 calories to live a day.
1,350.
2,000.
Whoa.
And even 2,000. I'm sorry.
Well, you used to eat those little Tony's pizzas or whatever they are, where they're like 2,500 a pop.
Yeah, I used to. Glad those days are behind me. Dominic, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. Dominic, hello, you're on the Rick...
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Talking to her. Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Yeah, I know. No, I understand that. All right. No, and I believe we're supposed to be talking to Steve Kastenbaum at some point about the... Isn't that supposed to be here? We're supposed to be talking to Steve Kastenbaum about the kids and their fence posting or rail riding or something plowing. Whatever it is you're supposed to do. All right. Well, we'll figure it out. It's 503-733-2970. I got to say, at this point, if you go to rickemerson.com right now, we have got posted up there. And I see, now I don't have time. Steve Kastenbaum, damn you. Now I don't know if I have time to do this thing, because I know that as soon as I begin doing this, he will call. It's like if you build it, he will come kind of a thing. As soon as I begin playing this next bit, I know that the phone will ring and it'll be him. All right, well, I'm just going to do it anyway, and we'll let the chips fall where they may. Hold on a second.
He was supposed to be at 105, wasn't he?
Yeah, he failed to appear. Hold on a second. Let's see. Where did I put this? This is gripping as I attempt to find an audio file that I was going to play. In any event, if you go to rickemerson.com right now, we have posted the information for dropping stuff off for the Lister party. So we have now the skull that's on. What? Yes, I know. My call yesterday went too far for Steve Kastenbaum. We have the skull that's going to be on display, the skull George that was dropped up by the dudes. We have the mystery sound device that's going to be on display. We have a whole series of terrifying and embarrassing press photographs of me. Press photographs, by the way, which have never been seen by anybody. They've never been seen by anybody on this program. The only people who ever saw these press photographs were the people who were reading Talkers magazine in about 1999.
I think one of your old friends sent me one once, and you were still not past the embracing that part of your life that you were a little upset. I think I've seen one of them.
I hadn't really come to grips with a huge disaster. That whole thing. I hadn't learned to see the humor in it. That is entirely possible. So that's going to be there. And if you and I got an email this morning from somebody who was breaking out a whole bunch of stuff that they collected from the history of the programs. If you want to drop that stuff off, you can go to rickemerson.com to find out more, or you can just bring it to 2040 Southwest First. Sorry, 2040 Southwest First. And the mighty Dave Zinn, who is the gatekeeper, will take that stuff and he'll tag it. We'll keep it safe in a vault-like place, and then it'll be on display at Listener Party 10, which is happening April 19th at Barracuda, 7 p.m. Listener Party 10. And then, of course, after the event, you get it all back, too. So let's see. Rick, this email says, have you ever noticed how many people wear sweatpants at your large meal restaurants? I used to work at such a place, and we call those buffet pants. I thought you would like to know. Thank you. This is Marty. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hi, Rick and Sarah and Tim.
Marty, how are you, sir?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I think there's a new rung on the evolutionary bird ladder.
The evolutionary what ladder?
Bird ladder. Remember the story about the seagull eating a donut? Yeah, anyway, I've got a spot in the house where there used to be a wood stove, and it's got a metal, what used to be the chimney.
Let's stop here for a second. Who remembers the seagull? Hold on, let's hold up. Who remembers the seagull eating the donut? Anyone?
No.
Tim? That was from yesterday. Was it? From Duluth. Oh, that's right. It was a heartwarming story from Duluth. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Anyway, the chimney goes up about 4 feet on top of the house. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, it's made of metal, like aluminum. And there's a kind of a big round calf. And I was sitting in the house the other day. All of a sudden, there's this rat-a-tat-tat. And it echoes down through the front room and kind of scared the bejesus out of me. I thought, what the hell was that?
Uh-huh.
So I go out in the deck, look up. There's a red-headed woodpecker up there. About every 10 seconds, rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat. And I'm thinking, they eat bugs. Why the hell is he on this chimney? There are no bugs up there. And I was watching him. And he had read tat tat and then looked through the tree. He's figured out that it makes more noise than pecking on a tree, and he's attracting the mate. So he's using the chimney as a tool to make the sound louder.
This is just like that pepper moth story they made us learn in fifth grade. So your theory is that there's some new stage of the next step will be attacking you and Tippi Hedren while you're hiding in an attic somewhere. So there's some new stage of aviary evolution happening in your house.
Right. And
okay.
He's figured it out. He'll come by about twice a day. And yes. just when you're not expecting it, rat-a-tat-tat through the house.
What does it sound like again?
It's a rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat.
Okay.
Anyway, yes. I've got a listener party idea.
Yeah.
You obviously remember the famous agony of defeat skier off the ski jump. Upside down and unconscious.
Obviously you remember that, right?
Hold on a second. Can you hold on just one moment?
Oh, sure.
All right. Kristen, can you come to the studio, please? If you could just join us. Kristen Bowie, who's filling in for Scotty J today, you can just join us here in the Rick Emerson studio. Kristen Bowie, who's in for Scotty J. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Is there something you would like to apologize for?
Yeah, I don't think I screened that call properly.
So, if you had it to do over again, Kristen, how might we handle this call differently?
I'd ask him to elaborate on the bird story.
and maybe winnow it down a little bit. Maybe focus a little earlier on.
A little less rat-a-tat-tatting.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. He was amusing in his own way.
Oh, is he not coming back?
No, Marty will not be joining us again. It's 5037. Thank you, Marty. It's 5037, Marty. It's 503-733-2970. All right. I found the bit that I was. His emails were coming in. Please make Marty stop. Please, for the love of God. All right. I don't know if I have time to play this or not. Well, maybe I will. This is from, and this is amusing to Tim and myself, probably. If it's amazing to you, too, and if it's amusing and if you are entertained by this, it is a mere bonus. Somebody gave this to me. This is a CBS jingle package from WBBM, which is, I believe, a CBS station, or at least
yes,
was.
Yes, longtime CBS station in Chicago.
I knew it. I knew it.
Big 50,000 watts.
You and Bruce Agler were probably saying that at the same time. It's from Chicago.
Huh.
These are from 1977. Somebody found these. Some radio nerd found these and sent these to me. This is, and he sent it along with the notation. Here's how bad the 70s were. Here's how good the 70s weren't. This is a jingle package from WBBM Radio in Chicago, a CBS radio station from 1977. Do you remember the jingle package we had at KOTK that was with the big brass section and like the
we have it on there.
Do I have those? Wait,
yeah.
Hold on.
Top of the hour.
Well, hold on.
I know I sent them to you.
Let's see. Hold on. This is... I've got these here somewhere. Just by way of comparison. Because we often poked fun, and it was gentle fun, but we often poked fun at... Wait, here we go. This is the top of the hour, I think.
It's 3 o'clock.
It was always the time check. And we would always kind of poke fun at how retro those sounded and how they didn't sound like anything that came from a contemporary
era. They were awesome. You felt like you were at a big 50,000 watt station.
No, I mean, they're great. I mean, there were nothing wrong with them. They just sort of sounded like they were from a different time. They just, they sounded...
Well, you're obsessed with all, I mean, as you can tell from, since you got control of this station, all the, like, loud banging and smashing and bonging.
Making a lock over pots and pans and whatnot.
Yeah.
Rat-a-tat patting. So this is a jingle package from WBBM. In Chicago. This is a CBS radio station.
It's your day. It's a mellow day. You're gonna know it.
Something tells you it's up.
You're gonna feel it.
And you just can't hide it.
Good times. Good people. Good times. Good people. WBBM. FM 96.
I bet they're FM.
I can't even imagine.
I thought it was the AM, which was all news.
No, I can't even imagine what sort of format this would have been, though.
Like an AC?
Maybe. I suppose. I mean, I get like an Ann Murray sort of AC.
And even back then, there were there was a soft rock format.
Like a Melissa Manchester?
Yeah, for women.
For the ladies. For the ladies while you're dusting and making doilies and so forth. So what a bizarre job it must have been, though, to be one of these jingle singers. And maybe you're somebody, you've got a decent voice, you know all about music, you've gone to Juilliard, whatever, and then you end up in a booth singing this for 8 hours a day for $2 an hour.
I bet they made better money than that, because I remember when I ordered some shouts way back when at the station I was working at in California.
Do you have Tim Riley shouts?
I do. I have one somewhere.
You never told me that. You got to bring those in.
They're in there somewhere.
They're in there.
I don't think I have any Tim Riley shouts. You know, I have Rick Emerson shouts. I have a whole disc of those.
I know, batch of them were like $5,000, and that was back in the early 90s.
Please tell me you didn't pay $5,000 for Tim Riley's shouts.
I didn't pay for them personally. The station did.
Really?
Well, it was all the jocks.
Good God.
So that's how much a show would cost back then, so the jingles must have been a lot more.
I only ask that because I know jocks who have paid for their own
image. Oh, no. I wouldn't pay for anything. I'm much more thrifty than I'll go without.
You just go home and do it yourself by speaking into a cardboard box.
I could ride the Max for many years.
I know jocks, though, who have paid out of their own pocket to have their own shouts made.
No, these are done by PAMs.
And shouts, if you listen to a radio station, shouts are those things where it's not a jingle, it's not sung, but it is literally a chorus of male and female voices going, Tim Riley. I have a bunch of those. I have a bunch of Rick Emerson shouts that I've done. I knew jocks who would go into studios on the weekend and try to make their own shouts by just layering their own voice.
Back when you were doing the national show, you had one there, but it was kind of just two people.
It wasn't even two. It was one guy. It's the same guy that does the shouts now for John and Jeff. If you listen to the John and Jeff show at night, that guy, where he goes, John and Jeff, that guy, and he's the same guy that did Ed Till. Come on, everybody, Ed Till. That guy is the same guy who did all of my...
I guess nobody followed those instructions.
No. Come on, a small handful of people, Ed Till. I'm sorry. That's a terrible thing.
No, he does have a flourishing nightclub comedy career in New York now.
Kenny Vance, his opening act.
Is he really a comedian now?
Yeah, he is. He's not Ed Till anymore, though. He's Edward Till. He changed his whole image.
Okay. His image used to... Never mind. I'm not even going to say it.
I'll see what I can do to find it on.
Yeah, you do that. You're right on it.
going to have these redone, like, for our station.
Such your yesterdays on a very much today.
Imagine, it's just
wow,
depressing.
That was put you to sleep.
Seriously, imagine listening to this. I remember my mom was in.
Then you go into Spandau Ballet.
True. It's like the sound of Sominex. Really, if Valium could sing, this is exactly what it would sound like.
I just went to Ed Till's website that says, you have reached an undefined website. but if I go to Wikipedia, it says he's an American comedian and radio personality.
In that order?
He was born in the Bronx, New York, the only child of Italian-Polish-American parents. He owned a B.S. in sociology and attended law school before becoming a radio talk show host.
You know, I don't understand why people who go into radio bother to get degrees in anything else, because I guess they lie to themselves and they say, well, if this radio thing doesn't work out, which it won't. That's the thing. I can't even tell you, and I'm not speaking at you, Sarah. I don't want you to think that I'm mouthing these
words.
No, just
on Ed Till's MySpace page.
Really? Oh, really?
Yes.
So there must be some comedy cuts on there because he is a comedian. Let's hear one.
Let's not.
Whoa.
Let's pre-screen any comedy cuts.
Wow, he looks exactly the same, but with longer hair. And...
Oh, look at him now.
Whoa.
Ed Till, by the way, we should note that Ed Till was a guy who was on this radio station for, not this radio station.
He was a great
guy. Was on a radio station that we shared a stations with him. We have it a couple different times. So, but I'm just saying, the people who work in radio... They always do this thing where they go, well, I'm going to get a degree in the political science and marketing in case the radio thing doesn't work out. The radio thing doesn't work out. Quit saying in case radio doesn't work out. It won't. Radio is not going to work out for any of us. Radio clearly is a road to nowhere. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. Radio will fail you in the end.
And you wake up every morning and say, at what point did I go down the wrong road that has cut me here for life?
Exactly. What day did I make the decision that has doomed me to a life of stress and pennilessness? That's the question you have to ask. And then you will never end up using whatever your other degree is anyway, ever. Because you will do what everybody does. You will quit radio, and then you will inevitably go back to it time and time and time again like a junkie. All right, let's do a couple more of these jingles, and we're going to take a break here.
Islands in the stream.
Totally.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Brian Jones from engineering is noted. Our director of engineering noted it was soft hits.
Right. Yeah. Soft hits.
What is it?
It wasn't the AM news station.
It's on.
Yeah. Oh, it's on.
Did I just
tap in everybody's ear?
Yes. Fabulous. Yes.
I have a good friend of mine who's chief engineer up there, and I called him because I heard you talking about it. And I said, what was that back in the 70s? He says, oh, my God, it was soft hits.
It was fascinating is what it was.
The AM is all news, and it's
AM
is
all
20,
news.
Correct?
Correct. And it is a 50,000 watt flamethrower. Absolutely.
Right.
It is now Chicago's hits and hip-hop.
Okay.
So that's what it is.
Seriously, it's so tempting to try to get some current version of this. To get these jingles redone in exactly this style, but mentioning this name, the name of this show. All right. We're late. Okay, we got to take a break.
Oh,
all
darn.
Right, thank you.
It's 1:32 already.
It's 1:32.
It's 1:32. I'm just going to time check along with you.
All right. You say that back after this, we got the phone calls around the corner. We'll talk to the guy who runs the Faux Film Festival, which is happening, I believe, at the Hollywood Theater this weekend. Top five coming up later on. Tom Likas, Donna Micah 7. You say there's the Rick Emerson radio show. She was a fetus. All right. 503-733. I've got these birds, Rick. What's your buddy, Ken?
Rat-a-tat-tat.
Rick, how about this? This email says, Listener Party 10. Listener Party 10. Boring douchebags calling the wrong show to ramble about birds should stay off the damn phone.
110 parakeets were found in Seattle apartments. Living in the bedroom of a one-bedroom apartment. Owned by a man in his 50s.
Let's make bird news a regular segment. This guy says, okay, that's not really so much a title as a general rule for the audience. God
ten
bird, damn.
10 birds were given to a veterinarian because they had difficulty flying.
Really?
Yes. They forgot how to fly. Or maybe they were brainwashed into thinking they could not leave this apartment.
How do you brainwash a bird? It's the best show ever. I don't understand.
Well, they're not the most intelligent of species.
Birds can't forget how to fly.
They did, apparently.
Okay. let's see. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, about the... Oh, this is us talking about the... were we talking about the orangutan that gets health coverage? Isn't that it?
Oh, at the Oregon Zoo?
Yeah. Rick, the reason the orangutan gets free health coverage is because he's being held captive. Against his will. Apparently, it's the least we can do to keep it alive. As long as we're squeezing entertainment dollars out of its primate ass, Michael and Seaside. It's true. Look, the upside is you get free health care. The downside is we're going to poke you and prod you, and you have to ride a unicycle all day. Let's see. Pleased to be telling Tim that his precious Uptown China bistro, what with its downtown location, has nothing off the claim jumper at the Clackamas Town Center. This guy's all upset about it. The gray wall of chocolate with its six layers and 200... How much... Okay, Tim Riley, how many calories... And I know that we're all growing vaginas as I say this. Except for Sarah.
I never eat it by myself, though. I split it between me and whoever else I'm dining with.
I'm simply saying, if you had to guesstimate how many calories from the Great Wall of Chocolate, what would you guess?
Oh, 1,000 maybe?
2,240. So your portion is 1,000.
Yes.
And some, yes. let's see.
Not that they go out to eat often.
I'm just saying. I'm just passing along nutritional information. And inexplicably, we're still getting emails about talking trees. Let's see. It's 503-733-2970.
See, when I play that silliness, I always know what's going to strike a nerve.
All right. Let's see here. Let's, Kristen says, parakeets are stupid creatures. They can forget how to fly. Mine was dumb. Forgot how to do it indeed. All right. This is, is this the same Dominic who wasn't there like 9 times? Dominic.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, just for the record, regarding Emerson History X, I emailed you about that like a week ago. The day I heard about the Listener Party 10, I thought, that's genius, and I sent it. I copied it to Rick Emerson at rickemerson.com and your MySpace, and it said you read it.
Is that true, really?
Yes, that's true. It said you read it, and then when I didn't get a response back or hear about it on the radio, I just figured you thought it was lame, so I said, forget it.
Figured I thought it was swill.
Yes.
All right, it may have been late at night, or I might have been
And the MySpace thread sometimes isn't always reliable.
And I might have been huffing paint thinner or something. Well, I'll go back and do a search on it. We'll split credit fairly if I find that more than one person submitted. It's a great name, though.
I kept it. I kept the copy of the email, just in case.
It's a good thing you're not a little creepy and anal.
Yeah. All right. Later.
Thank you. There you go. All right. There you have Dominic. Let's see. It's 503. We'll do the news here in a second, and then we'll talk to the folks from the Faux Film Festival. Is it almost 2 o'clock already?
It is.
Where does the time go? Seriously. Does it seem like lately the show is just zipping by, and we're all really giggly and insane and easily amused? All right. Easily amused. That's what we'll call the listener party. Is our good friend Rob at the house of Rick. What's up, brother man?
Hey, man. Not much. Hey, I got some memorabilia for you guys. I've got Todd Gorger's sticks from the first Riley Factor concert.
Really? From the very first Tim Riley Factor performance. Was that at the first listener party?
I believe so. But yeah. I have the sticks from that.
You sound fantastic today, by the way.
Yes, I'm very, very sick. Thank you for your your caring.
All right.
I also have the handwritten first copy of the Rick Emerson drinking game.
Is it? I don't remember. Okay, let's.
I remember this when we were making up all the ingredients.
Well, no. This is when me and Tony wrote up a drinking game, and we ended up St. Patrick's Day out at the Viewpoint.
Let's do these things one at a time. All right, so we've got Listener Party 10, which is coming up April 19th, Barracuda, Listener Party 10, and I think... I mean, I say, what's today? Wednesday? So I say by the end of the week, probably by the end of tomorrow, I say give it till the end of tomorrow. If we don't come up with a better name, I say we go with Emerson History X, which I like. Lends itself easily to a logo, same colors, blah, 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 and so forth. It's got a big X we can use in it. All right. So, and so we're trying to do like a display of, we're trying to do the whole history of the Rick Emerson Show with memorabilia. The Tim Riley Factor, which is the now defunct house band, it was made up of myself, Todd Gorger, who was one of our board ops, Kristen from accounting, and then a rotating band of whoever. So we played at the very first listener party, which was at some casino in La Center. And I didn't even think there was a stage. I think it was just like, it was like a set of portable stairs that we all stood on. And you've got drumsticks from that performance.
Yes, I do.
Fantastic. Okay, excellent. We got that. And what else?
I've got the original Rick Emerson drinking game.
And so you and Tony, who was at that time of the House of Rick, you guys made this drinking game when?
It was probably, you guys were still at KOTK.
Right.
You guys wouldn't let us come in and drink on the air. Your HR said no way, so you guys stuck us at the Viewpoint Strip Club, and the listeners showed up.
Fantastic. And so what? Now, what could you have? Could you give me some sample of things?
Oh yeah, we used to do a lot of Simpsons. I'll run you a couple down.
All right.
Drink once for best onion story ever. Drink once for a Rick grunt or a patronizing sigh.
Fantastic.
Drink twice. Every old every old lady who takes Rick to task. Drink your entire beer every time Laura calls up and takes Rick to task.
Boy, this is how things have changed.
I also have the party that cannot be named.
Yes,
if you remember that we sent a couple buses to take people.
Oh, I remember that.
Ricky gave out laminates, and there was a VIP section, and all those VIP people stayed outside. Do you remember that?
I do.
Okay,
oh, God, that whole night is just such a disaster.
Ricky made four KOTK staff passes. That staff pass got you in the door about five times and Matt in the door a couple times because that's the only thing that psycho lady would let anybody in with.
Oh, God, that was the worst. That was the worst night of this station. That is the worst.
I wonder if she still works there.
I hope that she is.
No, she got cancer. She's dead.
Huzzah. All right. Actually, well, God bless you. Well, are you able to drop that stuff off?
Yeah, I'll bring it down before.
Do that. Yeah, please do. Well, you know the station. So
and I've got a bunch of different shirts from the parties. I don't know if you guys got a Claudia shirt yet, but I've got a couple of those.
I would say bring it, and if we've got a duplicate, we'll just keep it. We'll keep it in the vault, and then we'll give it all back to you anyway after the event is over. But absolutely, you or anybody, if you've got Rick Emerson Show memorabilia, you bring it to 2040 Southwest 1st, and then Dave's in. We'll take it, and he'll get your information so you get it back afterward. Fantastic.
Are you going to have security on this museum? Because if you can't keep a banner without people stealing it.
No, we're going to have Susan Reynolds and I were actually doing a walkthrough at the place yesterday. We're going to have it all laid out. We're going to have people keeping an eye with it. Things will be secured.
Excellent. Well, I think History X is the best name also.
I think it's a great name, Emerson History X. I'm a big fan of that.
Brilliant. All right. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, man. There you go. Rob at the House of Rick. Well done. All right. For the love of God. Well, let's do a couple of these. Then we'll talk to Tim. I'm not doing a five-hour show. I'm just saying there are days. A couple of these. Alexander. Hello, sir.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Dominic and Town Pavement. That was my name. I came up with it. And if some guy that hangs up on Rick Emerson and leaves the line blank five or six times in one show can call up and say, oh, I emailed you. Didn't you get my email? Oh, yeah, I came up with that. He's a loser.
Okay.
Tell him to go to hell.
Yeah, I'll pass it along, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
That was crazy.
We'll talk to a Mike from the Foam Film Fest. He is your president, your prophet, your seer, and the other thing. He's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The Highway 26 mess. Don't take all day to clean up. Here in the city, in the state, noted for lumberjacks, it's taking hours to pick up two trees that fell in the road. Highway 26, it happened this morning, some debris fell down too. And don't ask me what's taking so long, but the westbound 26, right before the zoo exit, is closed, so you can't go that way. You can't come in from Beaverton though, so keep coming in. But you can't go to Beaverton from Highway 26, which is a disappointment to some. Well, we're about to get some competition in suicides here in Oregon. We're noted for our death with dignity law. Well, it looks like California wants to do one, too. Usually they come up with things first, but
Well, now they're trying to come up with their own death with dignity bill, which they say will be better than Oregon.
The bill before you provides even more layers of protection and certainty than exist in the Oregon law.
Have another cigarette.
That's Patty Berg. Anyone who wants to commit suicide there will have to be at least 18 years or older and have two doctors who must agree that you can commit suicide. Apparently, this is better than what Oregon has. Grammy Award-winning singer Sheryl Crow was diagnosed with early-stage breast cancer a year ago and said legislation will generally help in fighting the disease.
What we're asking for is more money. Now is not the time to be cutting money at cancer research. The war on cancer needs to really, it needs to be won.
I didn't know Sheryl Crow had cancer. When did that happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was diagnosed with early-stage breast cancer a year ago.
Was she over it?
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
No stranger to putting yourself in the center of somebody else's 15 minutes of fame, Hillary Clinton agrees with Sheryl Crow.
We know we can do better to understand the causes of this disease, and we can offer more hope to women whose lives are turned upside down by a breast cancer diagnosis.
I don't feel no way tired. I come too far.
I'm going to play that. I don't care if she's beaten in the first primary and never comes back again. I'm going to play that every time we mention her name for the rest of time.
Meanwhile, G.I. Joe's is changing its name to just Joe's. It won't be too much work just ripping a couple of letters down off the side of buildings, but it will leave a mark. They started that chain back in 1952. It's a Wilsonville-based store. With one man selling military surplus from a tent in a field, it grew to become a Great Northwest retail chain, but the company said it hadn't sold military supplies in years, so it was changing its name to Joe's. The official change will take place Sunday when the company celebrates its 55th anniversary and launches a new website.
I want to have a band called the Kung Fu Grips, speaking of Joe's and G.I. Joe and so forth.
Hey, go right ahead. Don't let us stop you.
Okay. Thanks for empowering me, Tim Riley. All right, let's do one more and then we'll talk to the full film festival guy.
Meanwhile, a box containing cremated remains of a friend of a Florence woman have turned up in a fire pit where thieves are trying to dispose of the stolen goods. Last week, Pat Christian returned from her newspaper route. I guess that's the means of employment down in Florence. To find that her home had been burglarized, among the many items taken was a small blue box with a blue velveteen bag inside. Inside that bag contained the ashes of a friend who died many years ago. They've arrested a woman and are seeking a boyfriend after finding the fire pit in a vacant house. They were trying to burn credit cards, checks, and things that were stolen.
Is velvet the same thing as velveteen?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Let's open up the phone lines and find out.
I don't think we can. I think they're full of people calling about parakeets. I swear to God. It's 50. No, there. No, as Tom Likas sometimes says, there is one line open. Usually when talk shows say there's one line open, it's a lie. It means there are no line. It means all the lines are open. No one's calling. But they want you to think it's a scarcity. There is at this moment one line open. But you know what? Don't call. Because I don't really care that much about velvet and velveteen being the same thing. Doesn't matter. It's 503-733-2970. All right, let's... yes?
Oh, I didn't know if it was back to me or back to you. Or...
Let's do one more, and then we'll talk to Mike from the Folk Film Festival. I got to quit trying to... From the thing.
Schoolgirls are being bullied into stripping online.
Fantastic. Wrong.
Cyberbullies are even forcing their girlfriends to undress in front of webcams and then sharing the images with others online.
Hot. Wrong.
They're pressuring each other. This is particularly true for girls, sending pictures of themselves with their tops off.
That is so hot. And wrong.
Girls might send it to their boyfriends and then she's pressured to do it. She gives in and the next thing you know, it's all over the place.
Completely arousing. And wrong.
Ew.
The images are more likely to be passed on when the couple breaks up.
Hot.
Wrong. Preliminary results of the research show computer geeks are becoming the new schoolyard bullies. Final results of the survey will be completed in June, and they're expected to be published in the autumn.
Fantastic. Well done, geeks. It's 503-733-2970. Did you get this email from, Sarah, did you get this email from Aaron? Oh, no, I can see that you didn't. Okay. Well, I'm not going to read it then. He has an observation about something at the listener party that I'm not going to read because it's the thing that made me laugh. You know, sometimes you read a joke and you kind of go, ha, ooh, ah, sort of a joke that hurts. There's one of those regarding you that maybe I will not.
Okay. Yeah, at least let me scan it first.
Okay. Why don't you come over and look at this? Just come over and read it over my shoulder and then we'll talk to Mike from the Faux Film Festival and then we'll get these phone calls. He's suggesting an exhibit at the, Should I read that? Yes. He suggests that we have a display of Sarah Dillon's various exes on display.
Yeah,
at the,
funny stuff. Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah. He says, Rick, Kristen is correct. Parakeets can be complete morons. I once owned a parakeet that landed on a cast iron skillet. A cast iron skillet that had just finished frying some hash browns. You really would think they would have stronger sense than that.
I mean, they're a small bird. How big could the brain be?
But you think brain big enough to tell you not to land on an oven? My dumbass parakeet just sat there and... he said my parakeet landed in a cast iron skillet. My dumbass parakeet just sat there and yelled at me as the hot pan continued to cook his little parakeet feet. I finally had to pick him up since he'd forgotten he had wings. P.S. I think the low might still have a brassiere from the limo ride of love from that party that is not to be named. I don't remember that. Where was I?
Who were we riding with on the way back from there that was trying not to throw up?
Oh, many people, many different times. Was it you and I in the limo when the two girls started going at it that one time?
No.
No, it was me and... It was either me and Kristen or me and Christina. I'm sorry for confusing the two of them. It was just a blur. I can't remember. It was me and some...
With the girls making out.
Me, there was me... I don't mean to make it sound more debauched than it was, but there was me and a female from the show... Sitting in the back, minding our own business, just doing it, riding back to the station, and there was some girls who had attended the party. They were... I don't even want to talk about it. And then he says, also, can we line up Sarah's exes on the wall of Emerson?
Okay, we already said that.
I'm just saying. All right. Okay, we got to tell... Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Mike from the Faux Film Festival. Hello, sir. I'm sorry we took so long to get to you. Thank you for holding, my friend.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
How you doing, brother? The Faux Film Festival, this is it. What is it? How many years you guys been doing this? Because I know we talked about it last year as well. It's an ongoing thing, right?
Yes, this is year three, basically April Fool's weekend every year.
And this happens at the, is it at the Hollywood Theater?
Yes, Hollywood Theater.
And this is, it's fake commercials, mockumentaries. I know some people that have made stuff or that are trying to get stuff submitted for this, and I have some film geek friends that are real into this. For people who aren't really familiar with the Faux Film Festival, I mean, just kind of give like a little overview of what it is.
Yeah, basically spoof, satire, mockumentary, music parody, any film that pokes fun at something, basically.
Is this stuff, is it local films or is it national or both or...
All over the world, as far as the...
Traveling festival, or is this like a Portland-only thing?
No, this is Portland-only, and it's the only festival of its kind in the world.
And is the money goat... I like you threw the little superhero. In all of the known world! where does the money for this go? Does it go to some group, or to the Hollywood Theater itself, or both, or what?
Actually, this is a labor of love, so it's still operating in the red.
All right. It's okay. So the money goes nowhere. The money just goes into a hole, so people can feel good about that. Excellent.
Yeah.
It starts tomorrow or no, Friday, right?
No, Thursday. Thursday night. Night is a different theme. So Thursday night is a block of mockumentary shorts, and then a feature film at 9. Basically a shorts block and then a feature film each night.
Fantastic.
And you get both blocks of films for the same low price of $7 each night.
Excellent. Is there a website for the Faux Film Festival?
Yes, www.fauxfilm.com, and faux is spelled F-A-U-X.
All right, we've got an intelligent audience. They know this.
So Thursday night is mockumentaries. Friday night is faux commercials and movie spoofs. Saturday is satire, and then Sunday is sci-fi horror day.
Very cool. Excellent. How many, do you know if there are entries from Portland in this?
Yes, there are 6 local filmmakers represented in the lineup.
Very cool. We got a lot of people in the film community, a lot of people who are kind of the art world that sort of listen to it. So that's very cool. The Faux Film Festival happens Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, each day a different theme. The website is faux film, F-A-U-X-film.com, right?
Yes, and I should mention that the director from the Netherlands who directed Zombie Love, the zombie musical, will be present on Sunday.
From what?
There's a zombie musical called Zombie Love.
Is it?
And it's really amazing. You have to see it.
I'm thinking of Cannibal the Musical. This is a zombie musical.
A zombie musical, yes. The director is from the Netherlands and will be present on Sunday.
Yeah, the really good part about this phone call is that I have a friend of mine who's been working on a zombie musical for some years, and now that he knows that there's one already completed in the can, I can probably listen really closely and hear the sound of the gunshot as he takes his own life. So that's good.
He'll become a zombie himself, right?
Yes, I suppose. That is the upshot. That's the upside of it there is that we will have one more brain eater among us, my friend.
Excellent.
All right, the Faux Film Festival, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the world-famous and wonderful Hollywood Theater, and the website is faux film.com. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, man.
All Hey, thanks, Rick.
There you go. Thank you. All right, there you go. Thank you, Del Paxton. All right. Do we have to break? Oh, my God. It's 2 o'clock.
Jeez.
Jesus God Almighty. What are you giggling at, Tim Riley? No, nothing. I'm just enjoying the program. I think you've been amusing body limerick you heard early in the day. Yeah. All right. Let's see if we get back. Mike wants to comment on the guys at Channel 12. Somebody has Anna Nicole information, more listener name suggestions. Let's see what else. Kristen had a bird that committed suicide. Okay. 503-733-2970. I don't even know what else we're going to do. It's madness. It's craziness. All right, back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. So I'm looking for a girl with a